Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Wednesday, September 28th, 2022. Anti-gaslighting, not a Sunday thing, a history lesson. Not necessarily trying to implicate anyone in particular, other than perhaps the devil himself, from which all of this influence and persuasion stems. Because there is a plan, dear comrades, and you can go to the LuciusTrust.org website and see the article titled Work of the Hierarchy that outlines the plan for everyone, everywhere in the world, even though we don't know about it and we didn't vote on it. But you know what? Klaus Schwab will tell us about it, so everything's okay. All right, I'm going to get back out of these rabbit holes, but the question is, who decides? You know, I've been saying for the last 2 weeks now, basically everything that we see in the intellectual current over the last 500 years and throughout our entire American history, every revered intellect, whether, you know, arithmetic, philosophic, religious, etc., they all sort of fold into what I would call an ungodly contingent. It's predominantly Gnostic, Kabbalistic in nature. And speaking of the Gnostics, you know, Colossians is an interesting book. When you start to see this for what it is, even some of the things that Jesus said, it confronts this stuff directly. It's this grand conspiracy. It's happening out of plain sight. It's been happening throughout recorded history, obviously. But we're gaslighted. So like I said in the last hour, it is like being on an NFL football field in the middle of maybe a playoff game or the Super Bowl, surrounded by a stadium, a crowd, you know, in the center of a crowd-filled stadium. 70,000 people or something like that. So it's noisy, and obviously there are players running plays and things, and you're just trying to sleep and go to work every day and function, and there's all of this madness going on around you. And it doesn't make any sense. But when someone says, well, that's because you're in the middle of the football field and there's a game going on, this is what's happening. Oh, why didn't somebody say something? Then it starts to make sense. So the entire intellectual current, it's not just the cultural Marxists. It's not just Karl Marx. It's not just, you know, Adorno, Horkheimer, Marcuse, Heidegger, and all those guys. It's pretty much everybody that we hear about. It's Euclid, it's Pythagoras, it's all these guys. Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Bacon, Newton, Edison, all of the figures, Einstein, that we are led to revere. George Bernard Shaw, Bertrand Russell, Karl Marx too, but not just Karl Marx, Carl Jung too, but not just Carl Jung, Freud, Nietzsche, et al. But, you know, speaking of university, isn't it ironic that that is kind of a Masonic thread, if you will? You know, the whole Kabbalistic, Gnostic element that runs through Freemason Making good men better. Who could object to that? Well, I don't know. Who decides? Who decides who's a good man and what constitutes making them better? Who decides? Is it the perfectibilists? The Gnostics and Kabbalists like, I don't know, Adam Weishaupt? And if that's the case, if so, then who is influencing them? Who and what is influencing them? And you start digging deeper, especially these days, when you start getting into the Foucaults and the Derridas, even you go back in history, you know, guys like, I don't know, L. Frank Baum, you know, theosophist, what's his name? Lewis Carroll, Hans Christian Andersen, Charles Dickens. You know, you go back and you see not just, you know, ungodly and theosophical, but, you know, you see a lot of times deviant behavior. You know, I'll just put it that way, I think. Deviant behavior. Very, very dark, disturbing, and deviant behavior. So why are we even reading these people? Why are we even hearing about them? Why are we subjecting our children to this in places like university, which is, again, it's a Platonic concept. It's Pandora's box. How can we go soak your child in Pandora's box for about 4 years, maybe longer? It's insane. So, who decides? And I'll just say straight out, you know, so the trivium and quadrivium, the liberal arts, what Masons consider constitutes the fellow crafts lecture, grammar, rhetoric, logic, arithmetic, geometry, music, astronomy. That's the fellow crafts lecture. What a coincidence. Masonic, satanic, indoctrination. So what you're saying is to be literate is evil, right? You're saying that's satanic. It's, no, I'm not saying that at all. The question is, who is in charge? Who decides? Who assembled this curriculum? By what means? What inspiration caused them to assemble this collection of folks? What do you mean? Well, like I said, I mean, how many kids in university do you suppose are studying Oswald Chambers? Oswald Chambers has been effectively unpersoned, you know, forced disappearance, that kind of thing. I'm sorry, Dave, Oswald Chambers never existed. I'm sorry, Hal, Oswald Chambers did exist. And we should hear a whole lot more from folks like him, or, you know, it goes straight to Oswald Chambers would say, don't listen to me. Go to where I got what I got and how I got like this. That's what he would say. Same as Moses in Exodus 20. Guys, let's all go. That's what folks like Chambers would say. Versus the intellectual current we've been fed that tells us that we should follow these Pied Pipers and soothsayers and that, you know what, just keep coming along in this choose-your-own-adventure narrative that's been going on for thousands of years now, misleading, beguiling, and seducing people into darkness. Just come along in this choose-your-own-adventure. Come along, come along. I'll give you the punchline in a minute. Only to discover it's what Albert Pike said in Morals and Dogma. You know, Lucifer, that's the god of Masonry and Kabbalah, etc., etc. But it's not Lucifer, it's Satan. That was his previous name. So if we're gonna do that, are we going to call Israel Jacob? Anyway, the liberal arts degree is say it's Masonic and satanic, it's indoctrination because of who assembles it. Because, you know, Euclid, Galileo, Pythagoras, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, D. Bacon, Shakespeare, Spinoza, Newton, Edison, Einstein, you know, Marx, Jung, Nietzsche, Freud. That's why, you know, Karl Popper, Martin Buber, Jürgen Habermas, Immanuel Kant, Adorno, Horkheimer, Marcuse, Heidegger, Kierkegaard. This is why it's Masonic. This is why it's Gnostic and Kabbalistic. Because if you look into their backgrounds, that's what they are. A lot of them are those who the Bible would say have departed from the faith. Why are we looking to those folks in particular? Why are folks like Oswald Chambers, who have a deep love of and reverence for God, why are they excluded? That's the gaslighting. Oh, well, you know, it's all, I mean, they're all intellectuals. And yeah, but there are a number of folks like Oswald Chambers who are not patently ungodly, who have not departed from the faith, who fought the good fight, finished strong, and do not hold to these Gnostic and Kabbalistic, you know, views. They're not off trying to divine secret mystery wisdom from the secret teachings of all the ages. They're just trying to get closer to their creator. Why are they excluded from the liberal arts degree? Or if not excluded, why are they marginalized and relegated to a corner they've been painted into in the sort of modernist fashion? Why is that happening? That's the gaslighting that I'm talking about. That's what's been going on throughout our entire history. And, you know, the current is essentially, you know, on a spectrum of A to Z in dialectical conflict sort of fashion. We're going from A, or pure innocence, to Z, pure evil. Genesis 6:5, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Intent. And you can feel it. And so, you know, people will say, well, the early, you know, what do you call them? I forget the official title. It escapes me at the moment. But, you know, the heads of Yale and Harvard and the Ivy League folks, they were in their commencement addresses, they were speaking out against the Illuminized contingent. And so, yeah, but you know what? Again, there are some troubling peripheral elements and figures and things, backgrounds, you know, fraternal kinds of things. All of the, well, what Aaron and Melissa Dykes called, you know, these 100 secret societies around the world, all the fraternal orders, like C. Wright Mills put it in The Power Elite. You know, it's not Yale or Harvard, but which Harvard, which Yale? So, just to sort of underscore this point, a couple of things, and then I'll get back out of the rabbit hole. I mentioned these pieces already this week. Pythagoras, the first philosopher and discoverer of the 47th problem of Euclid. This again is that piece by Grover Brunton, 33rd degree Mason. The teachings of Pythagoras indicate that he was thoroughly conversant with the precepts of Oriental and Occidental esotericism. Yes, that's how he writes it. He traveled among the Jews and was instructed among the rabbins. I read this yesterday. Concerning the secret traditions of Moses, the lawgiver of Israel. No, actually, God was the lawgiver of Israel. Later, the school of the Essenes was conducted chiefly for the purpose of interpreting the Pythagorean symbols, Pythagoras was initiated into the Egyptian, Babylonian, and Chaldean mysteries, although it is believed by some that he was a disciple of Zoroaster. It is doubtful whether his instructor of that name was the God-man revered by the Pharisees. You know, thus spoke Zoroaster or Zarathustra, and that emblem on the front of your Mazda, for instance. On his return to Europe, Pythagoras established his celebrated school at Cortona, much resembling that subsequently adopted by the Freemasons. What do you know about that? Pythagoras taught as a principal dogma of his philosophy the system of metempsychosis, or the transmigration of souls. That's interesting. Doesn't that sound, I don't know, contradictory to the Bible, for example? He taught the mystical power of numbers and symbolism. Let's see, the 47th problem is an important Masonic symbol because of its close connection to the builder's art. Is often called the Carpenter's Theorem. It is believed that many of the complicated mathematical details of the Great Pyramid were based upon now unknown applications of this theorem. The 47th problem is the key to the relationship between the three major parts of man, spirit, body, and soul. In this analogy, the number three symbolizes spirit. Three symbolizes spirit, four body, five soul. 3, 4, 5, you know, the... Yeah. According to the alchemist, the 47th proposition set forth the proper proportions of salt, sulfur, and mercury necessary to the formation of the philosopher's stone. There's also a close correspondence between the three grand masters of the Masonic Lodge of Jerusalem and three squares involved in the 47th problem. Pythagoras was said to have been the first man who called himself philosopher. Before that time, they called themselves sages, which meant those who know. Pythagoras was more modest. He coined the word philosopher, which he defined as one who is attempting to find out. Oh, you mean like the Gnostics. So, continuing, accounts of the philosophers of death do not agree. Etc., etc. Some accounts say he escaped over a bridge of the bodies of his disciples, only to die of a broken heart. A short time afterwards, as a result of grieving over the apparent fruitlessness of his efforts to serve and illuminate mankind. Gosh, that sounds exactly like what the Theosophists say over at Lucius Trust. Theosophical language. Luciferian, satanic. However, Robert Morris, as he was sailing near Crotona on the eastern coast of Italy, recalled the name and labors of Pythagoras, commemorated in the Freemasons' Monitor, in these words, quote, our ancient friend and brother, the great Pythagoras, who in his travels through Asia, Africa, and Europe was initiated into several orders of priesthood, and raised to the sublime degree of Master Mason. Here, end quote. Here at Cortona, his celebrated school of philosophy was established about 539 BC, in which the sciences enumerated in the fellow crafts lecture were inculcated, namely grammar, rhetoric, logic, arithmetic, geometry, music, and astronomy. So does that mean that the liberal arts degree is evil? No, it's who decides, who puts together the curriculum, and then who submits themselves to it. No.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a
Welcome back. So speaking of, you know, making good men better and, you know, the perfectibilists and autodidacticism, as it is, you know, so-called, it's interesting that the Royal Society has been concerned with autodidacticism, this sort of kicks into high gear around the Industrial Revolution and feeds into this belief that somehow we can do something of ourselves. It's the ultimate boast. And, you know, it gets to the heart of what guys like Spinoza and Nietzsche are talking. You know, if we could just separate ourselves entirely from God and everything in his creation, then we could finally get down to knowing. And, you know, that is, well, I would say it's insane. It ends up, it culminates in Psalm 2. But it's the ultimate boast. It's the ultimate evil. And it I would say, you know, one of the most emblematic examples is Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4. You know, and he tells the story. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream. And so, you know, Daniel says, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, etc., etc. Daniel says, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, etc., etc. You know, Daniel says, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. And so Daniel's interpreting the vision, and Daniel 4:28 says, all of this came upon the king, Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And Daniel 4:31 says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And verse 43 says, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And so just to, I guess, conclude for those, I don't know, reminder for some and something else for others. 4:35 says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? Stick around, we'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Let me just wrap this up real quick. And, you know, I keep saying, what is to be done? I need to get to that, too. You know, the question is always who decides. And again, this is not intended to be a sermon. It's the anti-gaslighting. We're encouraged to believe that we decide. We're encouraged to believe, well, the first lie from the garden, ye shall be as gods. Ye shall not surely die. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And it seems on the dialectical continuum that we are increasingly subjected to basically an exclusive diet of evil. Is it me, or am I just imagining that? I'm not. So Daniel 4, conclusion. Backing up, actually, to verse 34, Daniel 4:34. And again, it's Nebuchadnezzar telling the story himself. Talk about humility. It reminds me of David in Psalm 51, for example. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. Remember the guy who said, look what I have done. Oh my goodness. This is fantastic. Self, you have done amazing. Nebuchadnezzar says his understanding returned to him. He came to his senses, as we say, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And this is what I mean when I say, you know, we are led to believe there's this battle. It's, you know, good versus evil, and what's going to win? No, like Nebuchadnezzar says, there's God, and then there's, you know, I mean, it's creation, but there is no disparity. Like Nebuchadnezzar put it, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And we are led to believe that we can be autodidacts, and I would beg to differ. We are led to believe we can pull ourselves up from the bootstraps, and that, you know, we can make good men better, and the perfectibilists will tell us the way. The Gnostics will lead the way, but really it's their blind guides leading, you know, the blind leading the blind. So, you know, is the liberal arts degree evil? Probably. Does that mean we shouldn't be literate? No. Again, who decides? How was that curriculum assembled? What was the inspiration for it? What was the influence behind it? Who are the intellectuals that are represented in it? Could we not include the folks like Oswald Chambers? Speaking of Chambers, a good contrast is Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. I'll read this entry and we'll go to the phones. Today's entry, September 28, is titled The Go of Unconditional Identification. He cites Mark 10:21, one thing thou lackest, come take up the cross and follow me. And Chambers writes, the rich young ruler had the master passion to be perfect. Ah, does that sound like it relates to the subject matter? The rich young ruler had the master passion to be perfect. When he saw Jesus, he wanted to be like him. Why? For the rich young ruler's glory or for God's glory? Who gets the glory? Who's in charge? Who decides? So Chambers writes, our Lord never puts personal holiness to the fore when he calls a disciple. And that has nothing to do with it. He puts absolute annihilation of my right to myself and identification with himself. Absolute annihilation of my right to myself. The relationship with himself in which there is no other relationship. Luke 14:26 cites, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Chambers writes, Luke 14:26 has nothing to do with salvation or sanctification, but the unconditional identification with Jesus Christ. Very few of us know the absolute go of abandonment to Jesus. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, end quote. The look of Jesus will mean a heart broken forever from allegiance to any other person or thing. Has Jesus ever looked at you? The look of Jesus transforms and transfixes, for you are soft, quote unquote. God is where the Lord has looked at you. If you are hard and vindictive, insistent on your own way, certain that the other person is more likely to be in the wrong than you are, it is an indication that there are whole tracts of your nature that have never been transformed by his gaze. One thing thou lackest, the only good thing from Jesus Christ's point of view, is union with himself and nothing in between. Sell whatsoever thou hast I must reduce myself until I am a mere conscious man, kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. I must fundamentally renounce possessions of all kinds, not to save my soul. Only one thing saves a man, absolute reliance upon Jesus Christ, but in order to follow Jesus. Come and follow me. And the road is the way he went. So, I mean, that's a marked contrast, completely opposite of what this worldly influence is encouraging folks to do. And on that note, to the phone, Larkin, Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Howdy, Chris.
Morning, sir.
I hope I'm coming through better today. I realize that the sound transmission quality of my voice has not been good from time to time, and I keep trying to improve that. But I'm really happy that you're on this path. I think it'd be helpful if you remind the listeners that you have a website from time to time at least, because I think that's very helpful in these discussions. Mm-hmm. I want to make a side note regarding Emanuel Swedenborg.
Mm-hmm.
Emanuel Swedenborg was actually Jewish, just like George Fox, who founded the Society of Friends, or the Quakers faith.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing, you know, we've come to know about, and bear in mind that I have debated over and over in my mind as to whether to ensure to include syncretism and or ecumenicism in my list of isms, which comprise communitarianism, Lark on communitarianism, as maybe you have guessed. But I think I've covered it anyway, because actually what I see as this long-term trend of ecumenicism and syncretism is really it's a means to destroy Christendom. That's what seems to be in the offing with these currents.
Absolutely, and that's why I keep trying to preface by saying this is not a Sunday morning sermon. It's just to point out that you have the Marcusean repressive tolerance that's saying we should embrace all of this. And if you are if you say, okay, I'm willing to listen to whomever, but I don't agree with that, or I don't go along with that, or whatever, then that's construed as polemic and hate speech and all that kind of nonsense. And so I'm just saying, this is a history lesson, like you're saying.
No, and it absolutely is. And of course, I have been following these so-called interfaith conferences for a number of years to see the directions these things are going within the Protestant denominational sects, within the branches of Catholicism. Getting back to Swedenborg, I became alerted to Swedenborg when I was a young man, because I realized that JFK's favorite poet was Robert Frost.
Mm-hmm.
He was at the inauguration. He was the poet laureate of Vermont, which made me think of Walden's Pond and, of course, the influence of Ralph Waldo Emerson on his protege. And so I became enamored of this fellow by the name of Phineas Parkhurst Quimby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting to note that his followers, who were quite enthusiastic for him, people that he had assisted in helping to overcome spiritual or emotional affliction, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
And this is where I came up with this new line of mine that probably, upon reflection, I probably got from Quimby. And that is, the reversal of error is the astonishment of wisdom. Remember that Quimby lived in a time pre-war between the states in New England, in which the forces of science were weighing heavily upon the church. This is a, you know, we're talking about a time that came after Thomas Paine, you know, the Age of Reason,
right,
and those kinds of works. And he was quite respected because he was a quintessential American. You know, he was admired because he was the clockmaker. He was the one that kept up the clock in the town where he lived.
Yeah.
But jumping ahead, you know, first of all, Mary Baker Eddy had surrounded herself with some Swedenborgians.
Yeah.
And basically what she did was corrupted the work of P.P. Quimby. And so you might want to look at that sometime in case you you want to investigate that just a little bit more. There's a lot of, there's several memorial websites devoted to him. There's a YouTube channel and so forth. But I like the fact that he engaged in kind of a non-dogmatic exposition of what Christianity was. He was simply trying to get people of right mind and of right heart and right-centeredness. And that was what his life's work was really all about. People like Mary Baker Eddy and the Swedenborgians that she was surrounded by basically corrupted that work, in my opinion. And I want to remind you that there's been some Swedenborgians in history. You've probably noted them already. People like Heller and John Chapman, a.k.a. Johnny Appleseed. I mentioned Robert Frost. But also this gentleman by the name of Daniel Burnham. Daniel Burnham was raised in a Swedenborgian home, and he was the chief architect on the so-called Columbian Exposition of 1893, which convened the world's first parliament of religions. Remember, he was the architect of the White City, so-called. And what's interesting to note is that that seems to be a response to the Dresden Conference and what became known as the Dresden Manifesto. The dates in which these conferences were convened were, interestingly enough, September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at Dresden Manifesto, and then you jump ahead, that was in 1882, and then you jump ahead to the Columbian Exposition and the world's first Parliament of Religions, 1893. That was also September 11th. And you see what there was the response. And, of course, I could
right.
bring forward several other things, you know, but I don't think I'm going to add, I would add that much to what you've already put forward. Except to say that I see these interfaith dialogues just like I think as you do. And these currents of thought being brought together and manipulated, et cetera, is really not a good thing. It's not a good development at all. And I think, frankly, what I see happening in America and what I've seen happen all my life is I think that the Christians, by and large, have been corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
absolutely.
It's really sad for me to have to witness because, well, you probably know enough about my history to understand why. But, yeah, so I would encourage you to stay on this path and let's flesh this out because there's going to be other people, not just people like myself, that are going to cotton on to what you're saying because it's entirely apropos for what we're witnessing in our time.
Yeah, and it's the front lines of the battle that we face, which I would say is spiritual in nature. Whether you believe it or not, there's some kind of impetus. There's some kind of influence and momentum that is producing, you know, as I said, all the names that I've mentioned in the last week or so. And there, as we know, there are like probably hundreds more. There are definitely dozens and dozens. We could go on for, you know, quite some time. The names, but it's all essentially it's all the names that have been lifted up and venerated and placed on a pedestal that we're supposed to learn. And it's that pervasive influence. And whether you're a Christian or not, whether you believe the Bible or not, like you said, it is an attack on Christianity. That's just, you could be, you know, anybody. And if you see it for what it is, that's what it is. It's an attack on that particular element. And so you have to kind of wonder, why is that? That's really strange. What do you have to pretend?
By the way, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Forgive me. I was going to say that I was about to send out one of my infamous email blasts. Just Tuesday morning. I was up at like 5:30.
I guess, break time.
I didn't. Okay.
So let's continue that on the other side of the break. Stick around, folks. We're ready.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of
All right. Final segment. You were saying, Lark, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just conclude so you can finish off the show. You know, the entry at my website called The Coalescence of Cybernetics. Again, tinyurl.com/Larkin, Texas. The entry, The Coalescence of Cybernetics. Last few days, you've spoken of Pythagoras and before that, monism. And I mentioned Parmenides. If you look at that timeline that's put forward by the American Society of Cybernetics, the link is at that website. We're talking, they have a timeline. It goes back to the 6th century BC, cybernetics. And guess what the first two entries are? The first one is about Pythagoras, and the second is about Parmenides.
Yeah, what a coincidence.
6th century BC. You're going to find that interesting, Chris, because, of course, Pythagoras and his school.
Yeah, it's unbroken, which is exactly why I say it's an unbroken thread. Yeah.
You cannot separate religion and faith and matters of the spirit and the soul with what we see coming happening today. This technology plays a big role. We've got new religions being formed, created right now, because of the marriage of man and machine. And this goes back to those early aspects of American history. You know, with
Daniel,
you know, what
Daniel 43 and the piece that I want to read from this again, probably tomorrow. Pythagorean and Hermetic principles in Freemasonry. They start the piece with an excerpt from the Emerald Tablet, text attributed to Hermes, etc., translated by Isaac Newton. That which is below is like that which is above, etc. But you go to the end. So there's man as a temple connecting the microcosm and the macrocosm. To me, that reminds me of Daniel 2:43. But at the end, they say we must also never forget that masons are builders, not speculative, but operative. So they're operators. And as we build better foundations, how do you build a better foundation? Within ourselves, these foundations shall include the reflection of what? So what are they really saying? I think that's ironic. Anyway, I appreciate it, Lark.
I hope you appreciate that connection between Pythagoras and Parmenides.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated. Folks, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.